I feel like I say this every time, but we could just go home after that worship. And I'm not kidding anytime I say that. My name is Megan. It's really good to be here tonight. I'm a leader in this church. And I am bringing a word from God about the ascension of Jesus. And I feel like all the scriptures that I was going to read, they read in worship. The Spirit was bringing revelation and the very things that I felt like he was saying emphasize. But before we get started, today is kind of a significant day. 1 year ago, the Lord spared my father from a near-death encounter. And today, a year ago today. And so because, you know, you hear about redemption, you hear about plundering. And we've been believing that there will be many hearts that will be won to the Lord, changed to the Lord, touched by the Lord, because the enemy tried to steal with my dad's heart, tried to mess with my dad's heart. And so if you are over 65, I'm going to pray a blessing over you tonight that your hearts would be. So would you stand to your feet if you're 65 or older? And so if you're seated, I want you to stretch out your hand and start praying for these people. And Lord, I thank you, God, for these salty, wise people. Lord, these ones who have a history with you, Lord. These ones that have weathered you and are still loving you with all their hearts, Lord. I thank you for these pillars in the faith. And right now, God, just like my dad, I pray for a renewal of heart, a new lease on life right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, for healthy, healthy insides, healthy hearts. And we declare the liberty, the freedom, and the health of the Lord, God, from the tops of their heads to the bottoms of their feet. And Lord, I pray right now that you would help them touch the accelerator in this season of life, God, that there would be a holy acceleration to do and do your will, God, and see your kingdom come in greater measures. I pray for a blessing over them, spirit, soul, and body. I pray that they would prosper and be in good health just as their soul prospers. I pray, God, I just come against any weariness, Lord, any weariness that life brings, any weariness from the weathering that life brings. I pray a strengthening and a bolstering over them by the Spirit of God, that you would come and just renew their strength like wings on eagles, that they would run and not grow, they would run and not grow weary, they would walk and not grow faint. And Lord, we just pray right now that these pillars in the kingdom of God would have an expression till the last day that you've ordained that's holy and provokes us all to a greater godliness, a greater expression of love in you. We bless them. We set our honor upon them. Thank you, God, for strength. Thank you, God. We honor them who have gone before us, who carry the wisdom of God in great measures. Lord, we thank you for the gift of their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Let's just get right back in that river. You guys ready to swim some more? Actually, you don't even have to swim. You just have to yield to God, and he'll take you. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that your presence is already in this room. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King of glory. You are the Lord of all. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to see you as you are right now, seated on the throne. I pray, God, you'd give us eyes to see the activities of heaven so that your prayer that it would be done here on earth as it is in heaven could come to pass. Lord, let this be a mirror image, how you've ordained it before the foundation of the world. I pray, God, just for the lightnings of God to come and crash in on your people, Lord, that we would know just how good the good news of Jesus is. in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now that you would help us have a view of you that is congruent with how you are, and that you would help us have a view of ourselves in light of you that is congruent with the thoughts that you have over us, God. Would you liberate us, Lord, from anything less than that? Would you liberate us from anything that would exalt itself above that knowledge of you, oh God? And we pray that you would come and set the captives free tonight. Come and set the captives free tonight by your Spirit. Do what only you can do, Lord. Bring an anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. Human wisdom and human words fall very short, but the power of your Spirit can do all things. And we declare anything is possible tonight. We declare nothing is too hard for you, O God. We declare the victory of Jesus Christ over every person right now in battle. We declare the victory, the overcoming strength over every person that's weary. And I pray, God, that you would come and lift every chin, strengthen every body, Lord, that we would know just who you are. And we'd walk in step with you without any hesitations. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Well, the exaltation, the ascension of Jesus Christ is the best news of the gospel. We often kind of pass over the fact that he ascended and is seated on the throne. And I would argue that this is the only religion that claims that its Lord is risen and alive today. This is what makes Jesus the most powerful of all, the supreme of all, the ruler of all, the king of all. And we talk about his death, his burial, his resurrection, the fact that he came to life. And now we're gonna open up the door to the reality that Jesus ascended and is now seated in heaven at the right hand of God. Are you ready? So let the scriptures speak. Let's start in Luke 24. Luke 24. I was thinking about this, that every comeback story, every story of good overcoming evil, every story of a hero or a heroine saving the day has its roots in this, in the message of Jesus Christ, in the message that he got the last word, in the message that he has overcome all things, in the message that he that is good has overcome all evil. Every story that we lean into, every good ending, even Jordan last week said, we're tuned to hear, we're hardwired to hear good news. And this is going to be the greatest news in history. And even a few weeks ago, we were in Salt Lake City. We were talking with a pastor who had just evangelized the night before. And he was talking to a young man about the Lord Jesus. And he got to the resurrection and the ascension part. And he's like, wait, Jesus was risen from the dead? He had never heard that part of the gospel. And so this pastor started to share about the resurrection of Jesus. And he's like, can I tell you about the ascension? This news just gets better and better and better. And he was getting his mind blown that this is the gospel of good news. So we're going to lean into some good news tonight. We're going to lean into the Lord. So Luke 24, verse 49, it's at the very end of this chapter, where Jesus has already been resurrected from the dead. And he's meeting with his disciples. And this is, he met with his disciples in a new body, resurrected, back to life for 40 days. And this is right before he leaves. This is verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them, carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So take a right turn and go to Acts 1. Right after John. Right before Romans. I remember when I was in church and I was born again later in life, and the pastor would say the location, and I was like, I don't know where this is, so I'd be looking in the, trying to hide that I'm looking in the table of contents, like where that is. So whenever they gave directional help, that was helpful for me, so that's why I offer that. Verse 1, Acts 1, 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until that day in which he was taken up, and after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, now imagine, he's on a cloud, like a chariot of clouds, and he's going up, and they're watching. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Which I kind of chuckle at. It's like, it's been a while since I've seen anybody ride up on the clouds into heaven. I don't know. Maybe you guys have seen this a lot, but this is a first for us. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And we know 10 days later, Pentecost happens, where the Holy Spirit is sent out. And we know that all as Jesus is getting ready to be the sacrifice, he's telling his disciples, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that we're going to be together. Hey, it's better that you go. It's better that I go. Hey, don't be afraid. The promise of my Father is going to come, the advocate. He's reassuring them about what's to happen. And so here they're seeing him be raised up, which I don't know if you've spent much time even thinking about seeing this, but you wouldn't know what to do. Like, there he goes, now what? So they're hiding in this upper room, right? And I want you to back turn to Daniel 7, because the ascension of the Messiah had been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And in Daniel 7, we see an absolutely glorious, partially fulfilled prophecy. So Daniel 7. Give you a second to get there. After Ezekiel. So Daniel 7 is one of many Old Testament prophets who had visions of Jesus before Jesus. And by the way, just for apologetics' sake, the chances of one of these messianic prophecies coming to pass is like almost impossible. So the validity of this spoken hundreds of years before the actual ascension of Jesus is profound. And Daniel 7... we're going to be in verse 13. Jordan last week said that hope is both immediate and ultimate. We have immediate hope and we have ultimate hope. Well, the same goes with this prophecy. There's an immediate application of this prophecy, but there's also one that has not yet been fulfilled that will one day. So there's an ultimate fulfillment and there's an immediate fulfillment. So let's read Daniel 7, 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Does that sound like Acts 1, Luke 24? And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near. They brought him near, the Lord. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not ever be destroyed. Now, this has a partial fulfillment, but it will have a final fulfillment when the Lord comes back, when we see him coming in like manner on the clouds. But can you imagine? We're going to deep dive into this. In verse 13, it says, they brought him near the Lord. Now think about this. When we see Jesus ascend to heaven, and eventually, I don't know, did he just got so high that he maybe was out of sight, but can you imagine being on heaven's side of that? When Jesus breaks into heaven, and they, the angels, they bring the Son of Man, which is why, a side note, in the New Testament, every time Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, the Pharisees would gnash their teeth because it was a messianic prophecy. It was a messianic name. When Jesus called himself the Son of Man, he was essentially saying, I am that Messiah. So here it says in Daniel 7, hundreds of years, the Son of Man. In Revelation, it says the Son of Man. So you've got these bookends when he was at the beginning and he's now at the end. And can you imagine Jesus being escorted by heavenly hosts into heaven? He goes into heaven. And have you ever thought about what that must have been like? No human had been in heaven. Jesus had flesh. He had a real body. And he went into heaven. And can you imagine the angels. And they're seeing him be enthroned. So I'm gonna keep going. Let's just put a pin in that. Ephesians 4. I'm not gonna promise that. There's so many scriptures on this. We could be here for a long, long, long time. Lord, help me. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 talks about the fivefold, and sometimes we skip over this passage. It's in verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he first descended in the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things, which is a nod to Ephesians 1. Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Would you increase? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Would you open the eyes of my heart that it would be flooded with light, that I would know the hope of his calling, the glorious riches of his inheritance in the saint, and what is the exceeding power in us who believe. And then it says, he has been given the name, which is above every name. Far above all rule, all principality, all power, every name to be named, and even the names that have not had names yet. He's still over those things. And he's given the head. He's put all things under his feet. And when we read this, the very end of that passage, Ephesians 4, he who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, I want you to just catch this with me. This is something I felt the Spirit of the Lord highlighting as I was preparing for this. Jesus led captivity captive. He led captivity captive. Now, I want you to think about this was a reference to a triumphal procession of a king. And when a king would go to war against another kingdom and he would defeat that kingdom, he would line up every person from this other kingdom that was defeated as a prisoner of war. And he would chain them together and he would lead them all throughout the kingdom in a procession. Every prisoner of war who was captive was taken and he was paraded around until there was a final execution. It was graphic. It was this display of power, of authority, of dominion. And we see this, how many of you have heard that before, where a king would do that? He would chain together prisoners and he would march them around, and that would be the victory lap. Now, this is referencing captivity's captive. Now, check this out. This is such good news. When Jesus led captivity's captives, it says in that verse in Ephesians 4 that he first descended. He first descended before he ascended. What did he do while he descended? There was a few things he did. Many, which we won't talk about tonight, but one of the things it says in Revelation 1, he says, "Don't be afraid, I'm the first and the last. Behold, I have the keys of Hades and death." And what he did is he grabbed the keys of death. And in 1 Peter 3, some commentaries are mixed on this, he preaches the gospel to every spirit. And then guess what he does? He leads every captive, every principality, every power, every lying demon. He takes in this procession, every dark host of wickedness. He chains up and he leads them captive and triumphs over them, according to Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3 and Revelation. I mean, it's everywhere. Now, think about this. Actually, AJ read this. He didn't know I was going to read this. Go to Colossians 2 real quick. It talks about it way better than I can. Colossians 2. Just right after Ephesians. Colossians 2. Now think about this captivity captive. Every trial, every accusation, every lie, every host of wickedness, everything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy is being led captive by Jesus Christ. Think about that triumphal procession. Think about what that looked like. Now here we are in Colossians 2, verse 13. "And you being dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us." Now listen to this. "And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And here it is. "Having disarmed principalities and powers." This is a nod to this triumphal procession. "He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them." Now, let me just get graphic on you for a little bit here. Has anybody had their butt kicked by the one who lies and steals and kills? Now imagine that he is stripped down naked, being led in chains by Jesus Christ in authority, and you see him being made a public spectacle as he goes. This is what Jesus did when he ascended. This is what he did. He not only took the keys to the grave and said, "Death," what the enemy thought was the final dagger in the story of Jesus Christ, he actually had the last word. And not only that, he said, "I have the keys of death. Now I have conquered death. I am resurrected as the first fruits of all creation. But now I'm actually going to fill all my people with this ascension gift." He gave gifts to men. But listen to this. He grabbed the keys to death. And now he's leading captivity captive for you and me. And now, the kingdom of darkness knows that it's on limited time, because there will be a day when the Lord comes back again and he actually crushes the head of the serpent once and for all, and he's thrown into the lake of fire. But what we're seeing here in Ephesians 4 as he's leading captivity captive is Genesis 3, when he crushes the head of the enemy. And he's making a public spectacle over the one who said, "It was you who shook the earth. It was you who intimidated mankind. It was you who came into the garden and stole this thing." No. My king of glory, he's leading captivity captive. Now watch this. He gave gifts to men as he ascended. So he's got this triumphal procession with the naked booty of... Sorry, that's how I sometimes like, oh. I hate what God hates. I do. And there, he's leading them in this triumphant procession. And he's parading around like, guess who has the last word now? Guess who has the last word now? And he starts to ascend, and then he gives gifts to men. This is a nod to Exodus. When the Lord led captive, the slaves, the Israel slaves in Egypt, he led them out. And guess what? The Egyptians gave them gifts. It says in Exodus that they were filled with gold and silver, and they plundered the Egyptians. Why? So that they could build the tabernacle of the Lord. So when he says that he first descended, he ascended, he led captivity captive, it's a picture of triumph. And it doesn't just stop there. He gave gifts to men, which is the Holy Spirit. It's even these fivefolds. It's plunder, so that we can build the house of God, so that we can build the kingdom of God on this earth. That is the only way it would make sense that Jesus would say, it's better that I go. It's the only way. What's better than one man doing all of this? A million little Christs filled with the same spirit that raised him from the dead, bringing the invisible kingdom visible to this earth. Isn't that good news? He led captivity captive. I can hear those chains. That's a reminder. And then he gave gifts because he's that good. And a super side note. I was like, do I go here? Can we just revelate for a sec? Sure. That's not very convincing. As if you have a choice, right? You will listen. Just kidding. The other way we can think of leading captivity captive is this. The Israelite slaves were captive. We once were slaves to sin. But now we're a new type of bondservant. We're a new prisoner of hope. We're a new slave to Christ. So we who were once captives are now captive to Jesus. And he's leading us out, which is why 2 Corinthians 2 says that he leads us in triumph. It's the same concept. This triumphal procession. Now we're following Jesus, and through us, he diffuses the fragrance, the knowledge of God everywhere we go. But this is why it's a stench to some who are perishing, because we don't like to lose our lives. We don't want to be slaves to anything. But here's the invitation for life, is to lose our life and find it in him. It's a new kind of slavery that actually means we're free. So he's leading captivity captive, giving the plunder of the Holy Spirit to each person who calls on his name. And then each person has a call to carry the message, the reality of Jesus Christ. That's what the ascension did. Isn't that good news? I don't even know where I am. And then I kind of want to pull that pin out again and talk about the homecoming of Jesus Christ. When they brought him near Daniel 7. This host of angels, these hosts of angels, they're bringing their creator up as he breaks into heaven. And it says also that those who had died before Jesus, who put their faith in God, also were brought up at that time. So he's bringing with him, he himself comes in. I don't know if he's there before, and he hasn't been there in 33 years. And no one has seen a man enter the kingdom of God. Now think about this. Imagine Daniel 7, when the Lord gives him the name above every name. He gives him dominion and authority. And even Psalm 110, which is the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament, so the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Which has happened, and it's going to happen again when he comes back. But imagine this. He comes into heaven. Everybody's like, the worship has been around the throne. the Father who dwells in unapproachable light. Thunderings, lightnings, a cacophony of worship. Jesus comes on the scene. And they watch the Father give Jesus the ultimate supreme name. He gives him the seat at his right hand, which means that he was equal in authority, equal in stature, equal in honor. And imagine the worship shifting from Abba and how glorious he is. And Jesus shows the holes in his hands. And worship forever shifts to the King of Glory, to the one who sits on the throne, to the worthy Lamb of God. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And he's receiving the name that's above every name. He's receiving all glory. The Father's like, I'm about my son receiving this kingdom. I'm about my son receiving the bride. I'm about my son receiving. Because what we're seeing is the ultimate of exaltation from somebody who humbled himself. Philippians 2, emptied himself, didn't grasp equality with God as a thing, but emptied himself, became a bond. That's why the Lord exalts those who humble themselves. We're seeing the very depiction of humility get exalted above all. And the angels are falling down and they're saying, this is the one. He's the good news. This is the one who made a way. This is the one. And I just imagine Jesus receiving all of this worship. And then he does something extraordinary. He sits down, which is the ultimate picture of it is finished. It is finished. And then imagine the hosts of heaven seeing him sit at the right hand of God, receive this worship, be given the name, the supreme name, and everything shifts. Glory. Glory. It gives you this picture of what he's doing now. In Ezekiel, it says the train of his robe fills the temple. That's another kingship and high priest reference. When that king would do that triumphal procession around the kingdom, he would have chopped off the robe of the conquered king and sew it to his own garment. And the longer the train, the more victories. Another side note, imagine this. Every time you don't give up, every time you pray in the authority of Jesus Christ, you're chopping off and you're adding to the robe of Jesus Christ of another victory, another triumph, another overcoming, another, again and again. And can you imagine how long his robe is going to be? He sits down, and guess what? He's not kicking back, relaxing, enjoying. He's enjoying, of course, heaven. But now he's interceding on our behalf. He is the high priest. He is the intercessor. He is the one who has made a way for all time where the blood of goats and bulls was never finished. He did it once and for all, and now he's seated. The Lord looks at us and he looks at Jesus and Jesus gives him the nod and we've got access because we're in him. That's good news. That is good news. So, the greatest coronation ceremony ever to be was when Jesus sat down and was kinged. That's how he's the King of Kings. That's how he's our high priest and advocate. We have him as an advocate now, and he's put all things under his feet. So why does that matter? Because we've been given an unshakable kingdom, an unshakable king who said that now I'm giving all authority to you. And this gives us new understanding of what it means to be in Christ. Because in Ephesians 2, it says we've also been made alive with him. So when we think about the ascension of Jesus, he's also made us alive with him. And now we're seated with him in heavenly places. So we say that, we're seated with him in heavenly places, but imagine this, which actually we prayed in pre-service prayer. You're seated in Jesus. You look to your left and you see Abba. You see Jesus. And he's like, yeah, pray that prayer. It's me. It's me. I've been given the name above every name. Do you know who you are in me? My name doesn't change. My name does not change. He is the God who was, who is, and who is to come. Do you know who you are in him? In Christ. In Christ. So we now are given the name. We now can pray in this name that the earth shook, that death could not hold, that led captivity captives, and because he's so generous, he gave gifts to men. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, and he's forever interceding for us. And he's like, pray this prayer. My prayers get answered. Pray this prayer. And here's the beautiful thing. This power that he gave us is life. It's to bring life. Wherever Jesus is, there's life. Wherever he is walking, wherever he's at, there's life. Wherever the Spirit of God is moving, there is life. It's life-giving power. Now, my question for you is, how are you bringing about the inheritance that it speaks about in Ephesians 1 to the Lord? He gave gifts to men so that he could receive an inheritance. What is that in you? What is that through you? Isn't that a beautiful thing to think about? It's a wholehearted life. Man. The beautiful thing about plundering, like we're dancing on the grave that I once lived in. It's like not just that, but now we get to help others dance on those graves that they're in. Because that's the ultimate of plundering. What God does to you, he wants to do through you. He wants us to be rivers. He wants us to be bringers of life everywhere we go. He wants an expression of the invisible kingdom to be visible through us, through you, through your hands. So we can't afford to say, oh, little me. Like, who is God that he is mindful of man? That's how generous he is. We're made in his image and we're in him. And when we pray, we're praying on this authority where the enemy has been made his footstool. And that's why the enemy has to flee when we resist him. It's because of Jesus, not because of us. It's such good news. So those of you who feel like your back is against the wall, those of you who feel like you're under the fight, he's coming to bring good news. He's like, no, 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 I am victorious. I've never lost a fight. I'm never going to lose a fight. And the time is limited. And so I'm wondering, the grave that you were dancing in, can you bring that life to other people? Right? The plunder. Like, when Jordan last week, was it last week? Yeah. How about last week, by the way? 43 baptisms? Guys, this is incredible. But I felt like I was getting a workout standing up when he was like, who's been addicted to drugs? Yep, yep. Who's been lost? Yep, 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 yep. But you know what? I don't live there anymore. I get to now plunder because of the ascension of Jesus Christ, right? So, this is going to get good. There's going to be an ultimate homecoming. This is the ultimate hope. This is the ultimate authority. This is where the ultimate defeat of the foe will be permanent. And in Luke 24 and Acts 1, the very first scriptures we read, it says, in the same manner, he's coming back. And you could line up 100 Christians, and we might get the timing of things different as far as our eschatology, but no one will disagree that the Lord is coming back. And the thing is he's coming back as a judge. He's coming back as a lion. He's coming back to right injustice. He's coming back to forever, forever throw the enemy into the lake of fire. And there is going to be a day when he comes and he's face to face with us. And we will have no need to plunder. We will have no need, because everything will be perfect. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And he's seated on that throne, interceding for the bride until that day, which he doesn't even know that day, but there will be a fulfillment of the scriptures. And he will come back. And there will be the most glorious wedding, the most glorious homecoming, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, every nation, every kingdom will be his. And my question is, do you know which team you're on? We know that the love of Jesus Christ is shed for us today. His victory, as he's seated on the throne as the victorious king, is for today. But it's also ultimate. And we don't want to be wrong about what's happening after this life, because guess what? As Christians, we fear no death. We die one time and then we're forever with him. That is such good news. There is an afterlife. We don't just vanish, or we're not reincarnated. There will be a real reconciliation between a real man, and it will be so glorious to be on, to be known by him and to know him. 1 Corinthians 13, fully. And so I want us to, let's see, Lord, how do you want to do this? So why doesn't everybody stand? I'm going to invite the worship team up. And I want you to just close your eyes. Do you know if you're going to be a part of that glorious wedding at the end of the age? Do you know if your name is written in the book of life? Are you assured that your sin has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ? And here's the thing, here's the good news of Jesus, is he doesn't desire anyone to perish, but he desires all to come to the knowledge of him. And if you're here today and you would say, I don't know if I'm right with God, but I want to serve this victorious king. I want to be in this triumphant procession following Jesus. I want to be a part of his plan when we are made one with him. And you're feeling this stir of the Spirit of God, that you want to be made right with God. Every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand if that's you in this room. You want to be made right with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see these hands. You see these hands. You see these hands, Lord, and I thank you for the glorious news of Jesus Christ. There's one in the back. Thank you, Jesus. If I could have some people on the ministry team pray with these people. And I'm just gonna release something that I've sensed. I have a sense that people in this room have been dabbling with energy work. And I'm here to tell you that there's only one spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that is for life. Every other spirit is lying. Every spirit that isn't the Holy Spirit is bringing death, destruction, and lying. And I feel like there might be someone in the room who is just searching for the spiritual realm, the reality of Jesus. They maybe grew up in a religious home where God wasn't real, but they're searching. And I'm telling you, hear the voice of the Lord. Come to me. I am the one true living God. I am alive. I am not dead. And there's only one Spirit who brings life, and it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of Jesus. The gift of God, the gift of grace. And I want you to just keep your eyes closed. If that's you, if you've been dabbling, if you've gone and gotten some like spiritual reading or tarot card reading in search of like direction, in search of hope or a message, and the Spirit is just like lighting you up right now, would you raise your hand? I feel the Lord saying like this, today's your day. Today's your day. And you know what? The cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ is here. There's one living God. Every other God is false. It's no God. There are no gods but the one God. Thank you for that one hand, Lord. Thank you for that one hand, Lord. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? It's hard to see. So if you're waving your hand, just get my attention. I feel like the Lord would say, the day is today. You actually have a gift from God. Your searching and your seeking is found in Him. The satisfaction, the direction is found in Him and Him alone. Don't play with fire unless it's the fire of the Holy Spirit. And then have at it. Thank you, Lord. All right, I want us to just lift our hands right now and just commit to God right now. Commit to God right now that you will be an instrument of life because of the ascension of Jesus Christ. And right now, if you need a victory in your life, if you need a victory, if you need help, I sensed in here that there were like Moseses who were so battle weary. And when Moses was battle weary, the Lord sent two friends, Aaron and Hur, to lift his hands so that he could overcome in time of battle. And if that's you, if you need help overcoming, if you feel like your back has been against the wall, I want you to come forward because we're going to pray and we're going to believe God for a victory right now in the name of Jesus, that you who have been set free will be free indeed. Yeah, come forward. There's no shame. Today's the day of breakthrough. Today's the day the victorious King is on the throne still. He's still on the throne today. Thank you, God. Yeah, come forward. I'm going to have the ministry team come and pray. And I also felt like if there were people in this room who have, oh wow, thank you God, Lord, you see your people. Yeah, just receive from Him right now. Give Him the first rite of passage to your heart, to your circumstance. Lay your circumstance at the throne of grace. It's the throne of grace because we don't earn it. We don't strive to get it. It's who He is. He is the victorious one. He is the one who's been given the name above every name. And I declare the victory of Jesus Christ. I declare that every demon influence bows at the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for every assault of the enemy to be quieted by His love right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Come and bring the message of who You are, Lord. I declare that You are strong enough, powerful enough. There is nothing too difficult for You. Just surrender, surrender, surrender that thing. Surrender. His arm is not too short. His arm is not too short. Oh, we declare the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're not forward, if you would just intercede right now, this is so important. Lives are at stake. Lives are at stake right now. Lord, we pray right now that You would come and do what only You can do, Lord. Would You make every crooked path straight? Would You make every rough path smooth, Lord, in the name of Jesus? I declare right now that every assignment of lying to make people feel like they're under is shredded by the love of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, if you're in the Riverhouse School of Ministry, I'm going to invite you to be on the ministry team tonight. Riverhouse School of Ministry, come and just release healing, release breakthrough. Pray. We're praying from victory. We're praying from the seat of grace, not for it, from it. So Lord, right now we partner with who you are in the name of Jesus. Yeah, more of your spirit, more of your spirit. If you're not receiving ministry, if you could pray in the spirit or pray for these people, create an atmosphere of just the dwelling place of the Lord. If you have if you're blind in your eyes or you have trouble seeing, and you've been like declared like blind or you maybe need an aid to walk, I want to pray for you for healing in the blind eyes, healing in eyes that are dimmed and darkened. Pray for healing for eyes that are foggy and blurry. If that's you, I want you to come here. We're going to pray for healing right now. Eyes. Oh, thank you, God. Yeah, keep praying, guys. Their breakthrough is our breakthrough.